The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this beautiful Friday afternoon, the final day of the week. Man, it has been a long week for absolutely no reason. Like, obviously, there's a lot going on, but...
There's pretty clear reason to
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm talking just work and at the office and life, like... There hasn't been just like a ton going on for me personally, but it just feels like this week took forever to get by. But then today, flown by. Like, I can't believe it's already 2 o'clock, but hey, here we are. Lots to talk about today. We got Auburn basketball tonight. I'll be going. I think you are as well. So that'll be exciting. They play Colgate tonight, so we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Is Jack coming in today? I haven't even talked to him.
I have not talked to him, but I'll shoot him a text.
Yeah,
right,
shoot
now.
Him a text.
He's probably listening to us, and he'll probably text us before we even text him.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe Jumpin' Jack Hutton will join us in an hour or two. Not too sure. He normally does, but I don't know. We'll leave it up to chance and see what happens. But great show on tap for you today, talking more Auburn football news about Hugh Freeze and the staff and the situation, everything going on. We're going to talk about that coming up. We'll talk some Auburn basketball and college basketball in general, because there's been some big results going on this week that we haven't really talked about because of the Hugh Freeze news. So we'll talk about that a little bit in this first hour. And then hour number two, talking more Auburn football, talking about the championship games coming up this weekend in college football, how they impact the college football playoff, all that good stuff. So we'll talk about that later on in hour number two. But phone lines are open all day long, folks. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever you've got to say, 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can call in, talk about Hugh Freeze, the staff, what we're seeing results-wise so far.
Staff is starting to take shape.
Yeah, a little bit. So if you want to call in about that, we'd love to hear from you. Auburn basketball, if you have a prediction for tonight, what do you want to see? Who do you think needs to perform well tonight for Auburn basketball? We'd love to hear from you on that as well. Predictions on conference championship games coming up, the SEC championship, of course, Georgia LSU. You've got the Big 12, the Pac-12, all that good stuff. You got Pac-12 tonight, right? Pac-12 tonight, and then the other ones tomorrow. So we'll talk about all of that, but if you have some picks for that, we'd love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390 is the number. Again, phone lines are open all day long, folks, so give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Talking Auburn a little bit, before we get into the coaching staff stuff, it became official yesterday. We didn't get a chance to get to it, but Auburn is no longer bowl eligible. I know they have not
They were never bowl eligible.
Well,
but
they were in bowl consideration.
Yes.
Which is where I'm going with that is they were never technically eligible with the 6-win mark, but they were still in bowl consideration because, A, there's about 1,000 bowl games, and B, there weren't enough teams to get to that 6-win mark in college football to fill those spots. And so Auburn was in consideration. They ultimately were knocked out of that, and there was a pretty strong feeling that even if they received the invitation, Auburn would probably have turned it down just because of everything going on.
I think that there was a chance that they may have gone until you've seen over the last, week, the turnover on staff.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem.
Makes it impossible to go now. I think had the staff remained in place a little bit longer, there was a chance.
But I just don't think that was going to happen because we knew the coaching news was going to be late last week, early this week, and like we sort of mentioned yesterday, when a new coach is hired, there's a good chance most of the current staff is not going to be retained. So, again, I think there was a pretty solid chance that if Auburn were to have received a bowl invitation, they would have more than likely turned it down just because of everything going on. Like you said, the staff, pretty much almost all of them, there's still some, but almost all of them not being here anymore. It's the end of the year. Coach trying to get in there and talk to the players and just start over, right? So it wouldn't have made a whole lot of sense for Auburn to go to a bowl game anyway. So I'm cool that they're not. I think it's better for everybody to stay here. Let's focus on what Auburn needs to do, especially with the transfer portal opening up on Monday. I think the next few days are really, really crucial for Hugh Freeze to sit down with these players individually, see where their head's at, see what they're wanting to do, see if they're going to take that option and enter the portal on Monday. So, or I mean, they can enter right now, but I think the next few days are really, really important for that. So I'm okay that Auburn's not going to the bowl game. We didn't expect them to because, again, they didn't get to six wins, but I'm okay that they're not going.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think focusing on the rebuild is the most important thing right now, figuring out the staff, getting everything in place, because transfer portal window opens here in a few days. You need to be ready for that. You need to be ready for early signing day. I think this staff can make a significant impact here over the next 3 weeks, and I think they're already hitting the ground running here.
Yeah, and to kind of get into that a little bit, we saw a tweet from Brian Stoltz, who obviously is very well known in Auburn media. He tweeted out saying that last night, Hugh Freeze and the current Auburn staff that he has brought in already, they went to a get-together with more than 100 high school football coaches from the state of Alabama. And they just sat and hung out, and they communicated, and they talked, and they met, and they now know who Hugh Freeze is, as for some reason they did not. So
I've heard it went extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
I was very encouraged by what I heard about it, and I mean, now we've made the joke. We've made the joke already. Now we can concretely say it. Hugh Freeze has actually done more on the recruiting trail at this point in time than Brian Harsin did in a year and a half.
And I'm counting on my fingers. 5 days? 4 days?
really? I mean, really 4 days?
Yeah, pretty much 4 days.
From official, from press conference when he's introduced to now, 4 days.
Which is really impressive. And it's really good.
Really three, because like that happened last night.
Yeah, last night. And so, yes, again, Hugh Freeze is apparently him and his coaching staff. Again, they went to a get-together with more than 100 Alabama high school football coaches and talked and just, you know, introduced themselves, got to know each other, which we've talked about how important that is in this state, right? I mean, there are so much talent. We've seen over the last 3 days over at Jordan-Hare Stadium the amount of talent that's just in the championship games for high school football. That's not counting all the teams that didn't make it there, right? There is an unbelievable amount of talent in this state right now. There's people that say this is the most talent that's ever come through the state of Alabama is right now who is in school. So Hugh Freeze already, in his first 5 days of being Auburn's head football coach, has gone to a meeting, a get-together, and just talked with high school coaches. And again, just networking, I think is the word I'm looking for there, just to network with all of these coaches. And we have talked about how important it is to get to know these coaches, to get to know their staff, because then you get to know their players when they have a kid that you're recruiting. But it's also important to know these coaches, even if there's not a kid that you're actively recruiting there right now, because you never know who's going to come there. You never know who's going to emerge as a star at some school down in Mobile or some school in Montgomery or some school up in Florence. I mean, you just don't know. So you got to know these coaches whenever that moment happens. You're ready to go.
Oh, I think the groundwork is already being set. I think that Hugh Freeze is very aware of where not only big-name 2023 recruits are, but where big-name 2024 and 2025 recruits are. I promise you that. He is, he actually probably knows these high school coaches' names and know what they look like and know where their high school is located.
And they know him.
And the last guy, you can't say any of that because he went to like five high schools.
Right. And again, the coaches know him too. He doesn't have to introduce himself because most of these coaches know who he is, but he's doing it anyway. And I think it's very important to point out the fact that Hugh Freeze has done this before. He has been in this situation before, so he knows what it takes. He knows what it takes to be successful in the SEC. He knows how to recruit and what it takes to be a successful recruiter. And so that's the difference between what we saw with Brian Harsin, who just straight up didn't know, but also didn't care enough to learn. And that's a problem in itself. We've already had our complaints about that. But Auburn now has a coach who's done this before. He's no newbie. He's no new guy. He knows how it's done, and he's already putting in a massive amount of work from what we hear and from what we've seen so far. Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely, and I'm very encouraged by it, and I can't wait to see how this takes shape. I think the 2023 Auburn roster can be a lot better than people realize, and I think there is a legitimate. There's legitimate hope that 2023 Auburn can be a 8-4 team. And then if you do that, I think the sky is the limit from 2024 on.
Yeah, I'm looking up to see where currently Auburn is in the 2023 class. I've looked at it a couple times. According to 247, Auburn's 2023 class overall is 46, is where they have Auburn ranked in the country right now in recruiting. If this goes well in this month, and then obviously into February with the actual quote-unquote signing day, but the early signing period is the new signing day, but whatever. By that time, Auburn's 46 right now, right? They're 46 in the country. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 commits in the 2023 class. Just kind of spitballing here a little bit and shooting from the hip, how high can this thing go in your opinion?
I think Auburn very easily could finish inside the top 15 in this class. I think it could happen. There are big dominoes out there that could fall in Auburn's favor and get some serious momentum on the trail. Serious momentum.
That's the number I had, was 15 in my mind. Well, I'll go safe and say top 20. And I think if you pull that, I think you're doing really well, because think about where this thing was just a few weeks ago. I mean, there was a time where this recruiting class was 60-something in the country, right? So Auburn has pulled it up since then a little bit, but again, they're still 46th in the country with they've got 12 commits, 8 2-stars and 4 3-stars. So, and think about the schools ahead of them.
In a full cycle, you saw Brian Harsin finish 21st. The year before that, 18th. I mean, if you go back, a top 15 finish would be right around where kind of Gus Malzahn hung out. He had some top 10 classes, but he also had some underwhelming ones as well.
Right. And here's the thing. When you look at the rankings, here are the schools that are above Auburn right now in 2023 recruiting. This is going to absolutely blow your mind. Illinois, Boston College, Colorado, Wake Forest, Mississippi State.
Colorado's about to get a lot better, too.
They are, yes.
Because Deion Sanders is about to be the head coach there.
That's what it's looking like right now. It's obviously nothing official, but that is what it's looking like. Northwestern is in no shot at you, brother, but...
Well, it's because they have 1,000 players in the class already. Auburn's got 12.
They have 16 3-stars. That's insane. And then 3 2-stars. They have 19 overall commits, Northwestern does.
They somehow hung on to that class, and there's no reason why they should, because they don't have an NIL collective, and they've lost 11 straight games.
They won overseas, though.
They're undefeated in international borders.
That's absolutely right. But just think about some of those schools that are above Auburn in recruiting right now. Even with a bad year, even with a bad recruiting coach, it just baffles me that Auburn is that low, because you just don't think, and it realistically shouldn't ever be this way. Auburn should not be 46th in the country in recruiting, behind schools like Illinois and Colorado and Boston College. I'm sorry, it's just not supposed to be that way.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, and I'm currently going back and looking at the Gus Malzahn tenure of what all of his classes looked like from Gus Malzahn, 10th, 6th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th, 13th, and 8th.
So you're averaging around top 10. I'd say you're averaging top 10 there.
You're close. You're right in that area of around 10th over that span. Harsin averaged 19.5. That was the slot, because he was 21st and 18th. Well, if Hugh Freeze cracks the top 15 in year one,
on a very short cycle,
the shortest, like, the cycle here is miles shorter than Gus Malzahn's 2013 class when he took over the job. Totally different scenarios. And if Hugh Freeze finishes a top 15 class, there's no reason to think he's not going to finish top 10 or even top 8 in the years going forward.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. I mean, if he comes in, and again, this thing goes to February technically, but we know it. You got to win in December at this point.
80% of the kids sign in the early signing window.
At least. And so the month of December is where you got to win. You can pick up a few between December and February, sure, but December is where you got to win.
And a large reason why that's the case is a lot of these kids want to lock in their spot. They don't, like, you have to be a dude, an absolute dude in a class to be like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna hold off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold off and just see what happens and let some schools fight over me more. And because you better be a high 4-star or a 5-star. Otherwise, spots get scarce quickly.
Yeah, and think about another big reason a lot of them are signing in December. They graduate high school early and they go and get on campus in January.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
which is, absolutely. I think, is a really big part of it as well. If you're able to graduate high school early, a semester early, which is not super difficult nowadays, there's programs and there's ways for athletes to do that, you can go and get on campus at your college 6 months before everybody else. I mean, and you get into the program, you get into school, you get into the workout facility, you get in the coaches' offices. That is a huge advantage if you're able to do that. So that is why you see so many kids sign early in December.
So, by my math, Gus Malzahn averaged 9.5 was where his class sat in the national rankings every year.
That's solid.
That's good.
That's really good.
That's good. But if Hugh Freeze cracks a top 15 right here in a short window, that would tell me and should tell Auburn fans he's going to have better classes year in, year out than Gus Malzahn did.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when you look at the schools right now, in the current recruiting rankings right now, the SEC schools that are above Auburn right now, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, right? Arkansas, South Carolina at 15 for whatever reason, Tennessee at 11, Florida at 8, LSU 5, Georgia 2, and Alabama 1.
Mm-hmm.
All of those SEC schools are above Auburn right now.
Yeah, and
that's got to change.
The transfer market's insane right now.
Yes,
it
is. The portal has just blown open.
The greatest class ever, last cycle from Texas A&M. Wonder how that's going. Half the class is in the daggum portal.
Yes, they are. We'll talk about that and some more when we come back. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We roll on the Friday edition of On the Line when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Question of the day, talking about the transfer portal. Are you, with it opening up on Monday, we have seen just an unbelievable amount of players in college football enter the transfer portal already, with a lot more to come, I'm sure. Are you surprised that it's this many players entering the portal in 2022 going into 2023?
No, I mean, we knew it was going to be... It's probably not that many more than what we've seen. It's probably a little bit more, I'll be honest. But it's the fact that it's all happening at once, because it's the first time that we've had a designated window. Like, some of these kids would have hit the portal in the middle of the season. You would have heard about it. And all the news wouldn't be breaking at once. But holy cow, it's just like an avalanche of, there's like 25 FBS quarterbacks in the portal already.
Yeah.
Probably more than that, to be honest with you.
You saw where Michigan's quarterback's going, right? McNamara going to Iowa. I don't know why. Couldn't tell you why.
I have a lot of questions about that.
As a quarterback would you go to Iowa? Out of all the places, surely that was not the only school that wanted Cade McNamara.
No, Auburn would take him in a heartbeat.
And he went to Iowa, where they average four points a game.
Auburn would take him in a heartbeat. Who else? Clemson would start him tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, that really did baffle me. That Cade McNamara.
Shout out our boss, Steve.
Yeah.
He's still hanging on to DJ being that dude.
He's still hanging on to Clemson having a chance, but I don't think they have a chance.
No, they don't have a chance at all. It's over.
But, no, going back to the portal thing, it you're right. It's probably not an astronomical difference between what we've seen in the past with the portal versus what we're seeing this year. It just seems like it's all happening right now. I mean, dozens of players, it seems like every single day, enter the transfer portal right now. And on Monday and all of next week is going to be really, really exciting to see where some of these big-name players go, who Auburn goes after in the transfer portal, because we know that they're going to have to get some dudes out of the portal. That's just where they are right now. Hugh Freeze talked about it in his opening press conference. He said, look, I still believe that to fill out a roster, to be successful in the SEC, to be successful in college football, he said, it's building it with high school recruits and then filling and plugging the holes with transfer portal guys. Whereas we've seen somebody like Lane Kiffin, who has gone and just dominated the portal and filled a majority of his spots with transfer portal guys. You can make the argument of which one's more successful, but Hugh Freeze believes in high school recruiting and plugging the holes with transfer portal guys. But he admitted that this year coming in with a short window, that may not be an option.
There will be a lot of transfer portal guys on this roster. Let's be honest here. For a multitude of reasons, there is going to be unprecedented turnover on Auburn's roster. We will never see we have never seen a roster that will turn over like Auburn's because of the inability to recruit in Gus Malzahn's final year, carried over by Brian Harsin in the short cycle class, and then his first complete class, and then where this class stood at this point when he got fired. Well, all of that, taking into account all that, and the state that the roster is in, the influx of talent that is needed, a whole lot of offensive linemen are leaving. I think at one point it looked like there were going to be 6 or 7 guys left in the offensive line room, which is not a lot. And then you also have Keandre Jones in the portal, which we'll talk about at some point.
Yeah.
But so he theoretically may not be coming back. You also have the 25-man signing limit is gone. That is why you're going to have unprecedented turnover. There's also that rule that Lincoln Riley used extremely well, I will say, at USC, that is, you can essentially cut players from the roster as long as somebody is still paying for, somebody's basically picking up the tab for the scholarship.
Do you like that rule?
I understand why it's a thing. I get why it sucks. I do. But at the same time, I get it. When you're trying to build your roster, you need to have that ability. It wouldn't shock me to see Hugh Freeze use that in some capacity. I think you're already seeing it happen in the Auburn recruiting class. You've had two mutual parting of ways with guys in this class, which to me says our evaluation says that you're not the right guy for us.
Right. You're maybe not fit our system or your, whatever it may be.
It could be straight up as we don't think you're as good as the last staff did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it very well could be. And that's expected.
And that's going to happen with guys on the roster. I firmly believe that. But when you take into account that, and you take into account there's no 25-man scholarship limit anymore, Auburn could have 45 to 50 new faces on this roster if they wanted to. I don't think we've ever seen that.
No, that's just a massive amount of turnover, but it very well could happen. It absolutely could happen because, like you said, just being straight up, there's going to be some players where Hugh Freeze and this staff sit him down and say, you're not good enough to be on this football team. And that's just how it goes. And that's not just Auburn. That's anywhere. That happens everywhere. So that is going to happen. They may sit a guy down and say, look, man, we like you. We like your attitude. You don't fit our system. We recommend that you go somewhere else. Okay, cool. Whatever the reasoning may be, you're going to see quite a bit of that. It's a given when you get a new coach, a new coaching staff.
But we haven't seen anybody use that that, I guess, first-year coach kind of loophole as well as Lincoln Riley did, and now you're in a situation where Auburn has the ability to use it at a level that's never been used before.
Do we think that's what Hugh Freeze is going to do?
In some capacity, it would not shock me. It would not shock me at all.
I think he almost, I don't want to say he has to, but I think just where you could tell, looking at Auburn's roster compared to other teams in the SEC, talent-wise, it's nowhere near where it needs to be.
Quality depth-wise, you're not even anywhere close to where it needs to be, especially right on the defensive line. Look at how thin the edges got.
Linebackers.
Look at, I mean, granted, it got better as the season went on when Brian Harsin got removed from his seat. You saw more bodies on the defensive side of the ball.
I just think Hugh Freeze is going to have to cut some ties here with some of these guys on the roster. Nothing against them, but you got to get some dudes on this team, man. SEC is way too good right now. 30 minutes into hour number one, college basketball talk when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind today, we'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open all show long. Been talking Auburn football, and with the transfer portal going absolutely crazy and opening up on Monday, talking the importance of that. But Auburn basketball plays tonight. They play Colgate at home over at Neville Arena. Auburn is still undefeated on the year. Haven't looked great in some of their games, especially that one against your boys, Carter, against Northwestern. That was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen. But hey, Auburn's still 7-0. They're 5-0 at home. They play against Colgate.
A win is a win.
Yeah, it is a win. A win's a win. But Auburn plays Colgate tonight at Neville Arena. They are favored by 13 points. I've seen 13.5. So Colgate's 5-4. Auburn has a 91.8% chance to win, according to ESPN Analytics. So Auburn should win tonight, but again, we've seen some rocky performances from this Auburn basketball team. Their last win, the last game out, I should say, was a win over St. Louis 65-60, where they shot it okay. Their defense kept them in the ball game, but Auburn still only shooting 40% from the field in that game as a team, but they held St. Louis to 38. So we've talked about this. Auburn borderline can't shoot, but the defense is just top-notch.
Yeah, I mean, this team has not shot the ball well all year long. It's been one of the biggest concerns I think Auburn fans have had. It has not been pretty, and at some point they're going to have to turn it on because the schedule gets tougher here very, very soon. May not be tougher tonight. May not be tougher tonight, but it gets tough here in just a couple, I mean, really days, because you got to play Memphis here soon. You got to play USC. You got to play Washington. And you got to play Florida. And at that point, you're in the thick of it. The only time that you're not going to play a conference team from that point on is when you play West Virginia,
which is no easy task in that situation either. So tonight's really the last game for Auburn for them to go out and kind of run around, enjoy it, and be a much better team than the opponent, because after this, man, it's on. I mean, Auburn has some really good non-con opponents coming up. Like you mentioned, they play Memphis next Saturday over in Atlanta. So the Tigers will get an 8-day break after tonight, or really 7-day, I guess, but they'll get a week off before playing another game against Memphis over in Atlanta. Then they play Georgia State. Yeah, it's fine. Then, like you said, they make that big West Coast trip. They go and play at USC, and then 3 days later, they play at Washington before coming back and playing against Florida at home. So Auburn's about to be in it, and if they can't figure out how to shoot the basketball, they're going to end up losing games, because I know defense travels and defense will play anywhere, but eventually you're going to run into a team that's shooting really well, and Auburn is not going to be able to keep up with teams that score 80-plus.
Oh, absolutely, and that's a matter of time before that happens. You're going to run into a really talented Arkansas team early in conference play that can put up points because they've got Nick Smith and a bunch of other guys that are really good. And then you, I mean, you're going to run into really good teams that can put up points. I mean, you've seen Alabama's gotten some impressive wins this year. You're going to see them twice, obviously. I mean, something's got to start clicking on the offense. Jani Broome needs to get into a rhythm before conference play starts. Auburn needs to shoot it better from deep. All of those things are must-haves for this Auburn team as they get ready to go into conference play and really try to fight it out and see if they can finish in that top four and get that bye in the SEC tournament.
Right. I'm looking at the schedule right now. The month of January isn't horrible for Auburn in SEC play. You mentioned that Arkansas game, but here's the SEC opponents that Auburn has to play from the end of December. We'll throw that Florida game in there through the Tennessee game, right? So they play Florida at Georgia, home for that big Arkansas matchup. Then they play at Ole Miss, home for Mississippi State, at LSU, at South Carolina, home for A&M, at West Virginia, obviously the SEC Big 12 Challenge, which I don't know if you saw the news, that is no longer a thing. It's now going to be the SEC-ACC Challenge starting next season.
Is the ACC going to keep the ACC Big 10 Challenge?
Nope. That's not a thing either. Hmm. It's now SEC-ACC Challenge. So you'll get...
So, like, what does the Big Ten do? They just play themselves more?
I don't know. They may have announced who they picked up or something. But, yeah, the SEC and the ACC are now doing their own little challenge.
They're going to pair up with the Pac-12 or whatever because those are the Fox conferences and the ACC and SEC are the ESPN conferences. And we're going to
That's exactly why it happened.
This. And it's going to be more of that good stuff, and everybody's going to love it that and you may not see a lot of these matchups where you see a lot of SEC Big Ten crossover type mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, but this gives Auburn a chance to play some really exciting teams. Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, those games, that's exciting.
I'm willing to bet Auburn never plays Duke in the SEC-ACC Challenge.
You Kentucky Duke
because
every time?
Kentucky Duke is happening every time because they know the draw that's going to have.
That's so annoying.
It's just the way the game's played.
It's TV. I know. I get it. But, man, I want Auburn to be able to play Duke and North Carolina. Like, whatever. Anyway.
They might play Carolina some.
They might. Yeah.
But Duke's playing Kentucky almost every year.
But here's the thing. They could get them because think about those early season non-con games, the neutral site games that they play like in New York and Indianapolis and stuff, like Madison Square Garden. Kentucky plays Duke sometimes in that game. So if they do that, then Auburn would have a chance.
Well, they'll just play them twice.
I don't think... Surely they wouldn't make us... I mean, I get the TV side of it, but...
I'm just messing with you.
They might, though. They very well might. But, again, looking at Auburn's basketball schedule in January, after that West Virginia game, Georgia, and then the second game of February is Tennessee. So, I mean, Georgia, A&M, South Carolina, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida. The toughest game there is Arkansas. All of those other games, Auburn is going to be much more talented than those SEC squads. There's a really good chance for Auburn to have a good record in the month of January before you get into a brutal February at Tennessee, home for Alabama. I'm just picking out the big games here. Then the last three of the season, at Kentucky, at Alabama, home for Tennessee. February and early March are going to be rough for Auburn if they don't figure out how to shoot the basketball.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we've talked about that before. When you look at the schedule, there is a path, especially if you find a way to beat Arkansas
in Neville Arena. Yep.
Then there's no reason to me, because you also get Florida at home.
That's a Saturday night, by the way.
That you can't be at the top of the conference by the time you go to Tennessee.
In my opinion, just looking at talent wise, Auburn should only have one loss coming out of January.
I'm not willing to say go as far as that because I know how hard it is to go on the road in the SEC. Georgia, I don't think they're that good. Ole Miss, that could get interesting.
We've seen Auburn struggle with Ole Miss in the past.
Also, how do we think the events of football are going to affect the environment when Auburn basketball goes to Ole Miss in January? I bet you it's going to be a more hostile environment than it typically would be for an Auburn Ole Miss game.
And you look at Ole Miss right now, they're 6-1, right? I mean, they haven't beaten anybody crazy, but they do have a win over Stanford. They lost by 4 to Oklahoma. They play Memphis tomorrow.
That Oklahoma team, if I recall, is kind of struggling out the gate, if I recall.
Oklahoma is 6-1. So
they lost to Sam Houston in their opener. They've beaten quite literally nobody.
Well, they beat Seton Hall. That's a good win.
Seton Hall's not that good. Seton Hall just got a new coach this year.
Seton Hall's a Big East school, baby. Big East.
So is Georgetown. Georgetown won 6 games last year, and Northwestern beat them.
Oh, you have not learned of my Big East love of basketball, man. I'm a big Big East fan. I love that conference.
Just because you're in the Big East doesn't mean you're worth anything. Georgetown didn't win a conference game last year.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, the best win that Oklahoma has this year is South Alabama. South Alabama's a good team.
They are a good team.
But Nebraska's bad. Ole Miss is okay.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Ole Miss. They play
Seton Hall. I don't think it's going to be very good.
No, Ole Miss plays Memphis tomorrow at Memphis. I'm really, really interested to see what they look like in that game.
Memphis has had an interesting schedule to start this year, have they not?
I don't think I know their schedule off the top of my head.
They've played Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I knew that.
They played VCU.
St. Louis. They lost to St. Louis 90-84.
They lost to VCU, I believe. No,
they beat VCU,
No.
Lost to Seton Hall. They beat Nebraska, Stanford. So they must have been in that same little tournament down there then. And then they beat they beat UNA, North Alabama.
Congrats, guys.
Hey, I'm just saying, that's where I'm from. That's where my family's at, North Alabama.
Oh, gosh. But, yes, they get Ole Miss and Auburn and Alabama.
Hey-o. When do they play? Memphis plays Bama?
Well, this is kind of crazy. They play 4 in their next 5 games. They play 4 SEC teams.
Memphis does?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They go Ole Miss in Memphis. Then they go Little Rock in Memphis. Then Auburn in Atlanta. Alabama at Alabama. And then Texas A&M at home.
Interesting. Good for them for scheduling some big SEC schools.
Yeah.
Interesting. But again,
I love that on their website, but by the way, you have like the ranking of the team. And then for A&M, I guess because they're receiving votes, they've got RV next to their name.
Oh my God.
Because they just want to let everybody know that it's more impressive than it looks, I guess. The schedule's tougher than it looks.
Just to let y'all know, this team may not be ranked, but they're close.
They're
close to being
votes.
Ranked. Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous. That? That's ridiculous.
I've never seen that in my life.
They just want to get credit for the win, man. They said, we promise Texas A&M is decent. We promise. Oh, my gosh. But looking at Auburn in the month of January for this basketball team, they should have some good wins. They should have some easier, in quotation, wins than what they're going to face in February. Because, again, you look at February, on the road at Tennessee, you play Alabama, you got to go on the road to Vanderbilt, you got to play Ole Miss at home, and then at Kentucky, at Alabama, and home for Tennessee. That's the toughest 3-game stretch there is in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the end.
Absolutely, yeah. It's that end to the season is awfully difficult.
Right.
Especially going to Rupp and going to the airplane hangar, and then getting Tennessee at home to finish the season.
Yeah. Speaking of Alabama, did you see the news about
the airplane hangar is sticking around a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that arena for a second? It makes no sense. The long sides of the arena don't go with the long sides of the court, and it's dumb.
What'd you expect? It's Tuscaloosa.
It makes no sense at all. It looks stupid.
Well, they've got a really nice facility off of it, right, where volleyball and other sports compete in, which it's a really, really nice building. But they're trying to do upgrades and build other things, and the news
They're trying to get smaller with the arena because they can't fill it up, and it looks embarrassing when they don't show up.
They need to
games.
Just build a whole new one. If Alabama is serious about their basketball program.
Alabama basketball is Ole Miss football in terms of a fan base. They don't show up for big games.
That's fair.
They can't fill up their venue.
Huh. That's a good comparison.
Of course, you've got the Locked On Ole Miss guy, Stephen Williams, who we've had on the show, not Stephen Williams, drawing blank, but you've got him saying on Twitter when the SEC dropped the I think it was SEC Mike dropped a thing about attendance this year and how 10 teams in the SEC had 95% of attendance and up, and the four that didn't were like Missouri,
Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Maybe.
No, I don't even think it was South Carolina. I think it was like maybe Kentucky.
Yeah, maybe.
And then Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss, in one of the better years that they've had in recent memory.
Well, we saw Lane Kiffin have to beg fans to come.
And I saw Stephen Willis, not Williams. Stephen Willis was like, well, actually, Ole Miss has been above 100% capacity all year long. I was like, that is a preposterous statement because you're just saying, no, hey, I know you're watching our game on television and it looks like it's only 70% full, but that's not true. It's 100%. It's over 100% actually. And don't worry, our coach, when he's chastising the fan base and the media for not showing up for big games, when we can't fill up our stadium for the Alabama game, the biggest game of the year for them, we're actually over 100% capacity. That's a load of garbage.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it before where, again, Ole Miss has had to beg people. We've seen Nick Saban have to ask the students to not leave football games. We've seen Nate Oates, and credit to Nate Oates at Alabama, the basketball coach, okay, because he's a really good coach. He is. He's a really good coach. He's a really good recruiter, and he blasted Alabama fans a few weeks ago saying, if you are actually serious about this program being something and want us to be good, then come to the games because they don't go. I know their airport hangar is massive. I get it. But they have got fans that don't go. But then they complain. And, you know how it is. It's a double standard. And he is begging them and has called them out multiple times to come and support the team and support his guys for all the work that they put in. Good for him.
I have nothing to verify this, but this is just a gut feeling thing. I don't think Nate Oates likes being Alabama's basketball coach.
I've had that thought. And you know what?
I think if a job big enough opened, he would leave Alabama.
I think he would, too. Because of all of this, at some point, he's going to get tired of having to beg fans to, A, come to the games, and then, B, beg Alabama to put money into his basketball program.
Dang. If that doesn't sound like Ole Miss football, I don't know what is.
So, there it is. Ole Miss football is the same as Alabama basketball. We have solved the world's problems here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We got to get to our final break here in hour number one. We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on anything we're talking about? Anything else you want to talk about? We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Carter, I know you're enjoying this World Cup drama that's going on up
like
here.
You weren't enjoying this too.
Look, I enjoyed it when the dude... Look, so what is this? So what do we got
Cameroon's
going on up here?
Playing Brazil. Brazil, like... World soccer powerhouse.
And Cameroon scores a goal in the 92nd minute.
Yes.
And
with 9 minutes of stoppage.
Yeah, and they're up 1-0. And the guy who scored, he was running around, he ripped his jersey off and was holding it up for the fans for like 3 minutes, and they gave him a red card. So now he's out.
Yeah, he took off his jersey, which is not allowed, so he got a red card. So now, for the next 7 minutes... Cameroon's having to play a man down and cling to a 1-0 lead.
Is there anything at stake in this game?
This is the knockout stage, is it not?
No, this is still a group game.
I guess, that stinks. I thought this was knockout stage already.
No, this is still a group game, so I don't know. I mean, the Brazil fans look pretty defeated, so there's got to be something up to it. But
I thought that this had somehow become a knockout stage game. Because I just thought we were at that point. Because
not till tomorrow.
That's
a
bummer.
Because
that just
we talked about
my entire vibe.
I mean, it was cool, but that's why. Okay, well, there's your group standings. So you've got Cameroon with 4 points, Brazil with 6. So
Switzerland. Man, that stinks.
Well,
that's no fun.
The energy has been sucked out of this studio after that. Speaking of soccer, USA plays tomorrow at 9 a.m. and apparently. All right, so here's a big debate on Twitter and stuff the last couple of days. Are bars going to open up at 9 a.m. to let people come in and drink
Absolutely.
And watch the USA play soccer?
Absolutely. This is America. what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I would think they would, right? I mean, it is 9 a.m. That's pretty early to start drinking. Look, I get it. It's USA. It's soccer. But, I mean, if you want to, go for it, I guess. So, we'll see. I had notifications that places are opening up. So, good for them, I guess. Go make that money.
Yeah. I'm lamenting how excited I was for Cameroon to... for it to mean absolutely nothing.
Still a big deal, though. I mean, they beat Brazil. They're not going to get anything out of it, but they
Brazil
beat
still
them.
Wins the group. Like, literally, it does nothing.
Yeah, whatever.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, whatever. Soccer, man. You get your hopes up, and then you get disappointed. Not a shocker to me. But we've got about a minute or so. We've been talking a lot of Auburn football, Hugh Freeze stuff. Of course, the news, or the reports, I should say, that he was at a big gathering last night with over 100 high school football coaches from the state of Alabama. So that is very, very promising news, something we didn't hear a whole lot about under the Brian Harsin era, so that's good. Auburn basketball plays Colgate tonight, 7 o'clock over at Neville Arena. Tigers are favored by 13 points over Colgate. I'm looking for, we didn't really get into this a whole lot, but I'm looking for guys like Jani Broome and Treyor to really get into their flow a little bit, because Broome, you can see, he's good and he's going to dominate. Treyor hasn't done a whole lot. I'm looking for the guards to do some more tonight, too. Auburn basketball favored by 13. Hopefully they can get it done against Colgate at Neville Arena. Tip-off is at 7. Hour number one officially in the books. We'll talk college football and the championship games all coming up in hour number 2.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. It is sunny. It is a little bit warmer than it has been. So hope you're all doing well at the end of the week here on this Friday, December 2nd, 2022. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to ESPNAU.com, click on the podcast center. You can find it all right there. Commercial free right after the show, so be sure you go and do that. Also at ESPNAU.com, this is the final week for the SEC Football Challenge. You can try to pick the winner of the SEC Championship game tomorrow between Georgia and LSU. And then after that, next week, the season-long winner will be chosen. You'll get a prize pack from all of the sponsors that they've been giving out this year, and that 50-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV. So one lucky winner is going to win that bad baby next week. So excited to see who that is, and you'll get to come by and get your picture made and all that good stuff, take home your TV. So be sure you get your final pick in for tomorrow, the SEC Championship game. You can pick on SEC Football Challenge at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number 2, talking more Auburn football, talking to Hugh Freeze stuff, and we'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind in the sports world, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Now that we're a few days into this thing, has anybody changed their mind on how they feel, whether it be good, whether it be bad? We'd love to hear from you on that. Later on in the hour, we'll talk championship games this weekend. Obviously, Pac-12 is tonight. You've got Big 12, you've got SEC, ACC, Big 10 going on tomorrow. We'll give our picks for that, talk about the impacts of that coming into the weekend and how that will affect the final college football playoff results. So Carter's answering the phones right now. We'll get to the phone lines in just a second. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. So let's get to the phone lines now here in hour number 2. Ty the Tiger, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey guys, how's it going, man?
Going good, brother. How you doing?
So I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to bring up Harsin that doesn't need to be brought up, but I just thought of something that was just ironic to me.
Okay.
Obviously, we all saw him watching Auburn in Jordan-Hare. His son plays for Auburn. And I heard that when he got fired that he wasn't going and recruiting on Fridays, but he was going and watching his son's games.
Well, he had been going to the Auburn High games.
There were several coaches. I think it was Keesaw, Schmetting, Wilfred, Brad Bedell, and Harsin would have meetings Friday nights, and so that group would never go out on the road, if I recall right.
Well, my thing is, when I hear this, okay, I'm thinking, I know he's Auburn D1 school. I mean, it's a big...
Your kid only plays in high school one time. You know, you can only go watch him one time. Then, Tuesday night, Auburn comes on TV. I get to watch it. Everybody gets to watch him.
Yeah.
The dude ain't playing.
Oh, are you talking Auburn High time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they played Wednesday night at playing against Thompson. I believe Brian Harsin was at that game also.
Yes, he was. I saw a picture of him eating some popcorn in the stands.
You're missing my point, okay? Yes, he was at that game. That's why I was just kind of bringing it up. But mm-hmm. I was just bringing something up about his recruiting because my whole call is about recruiting.
Right.
I heard that, again, instead of recruiting on Friday nights, which you should be if you're at Auburn or Alabama, I don't care what, you know, he's going to watch his kids play on Friday nights at Auburn High.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Keyword, play. Come to find out, Wednesday comes around and his kid ain't playing. He's going to watch Auburn High and his kid's sitting on the bench. And now, look, my kid sits on the bench on one of his sports, so I'm not downgrading the guy for that, but, you know, like, you don't have to go watch your son sit on the bench.
I think earlier in the year he got in a lot more. I think it was a lot closer to a 50-50 split, and then down the stretch they may have gone with Clyde Pittman, the older one of the two quarterbacks. They went with the I guess experience and turned it over to Clyde Pittman down, I guess, in the playoff run.
Yeah, and later
I heard it was garbage time, though. It wasn't like you're making it out to be 50-50 where, okay, you play this series.
Early in the year, it was a lot closer to 50-50.
Yeah, they were running a two-quarterback system there for a little bit, and then in that state championship game, Harsin did get in. His son played. This was in garbage time, yes, but he did play in the state championship game at 7A, which is the biggest brand in high school football in the state of Alabama.
I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and, I guess, fault Harsin for wanting to watch his son play football. There's a lot of faults of Brian Harsin.
It's like I said, that's what I was kind of getting at.
Right.
I didn't know that they were running the two quarterback system, so I apologize for that.
No, you're good, but I see your...
That was my point.
Yeah, I see your point. I do.
I said, okay, well, you should be recruiting, but your kid only plays high school one time, so
yeah.
Go watch him. Go be a dad.
Right.
I get that.
Right. I see your point. Yeah. But unfortunately, Ty, the here's the thing, though. When you are an SEC head football coach, when you sign that contract, you have to know, and I hate that it is this way, but it's this way.
It's against you if you don't go out and recruit ever.
Recruiting and your job comes before everything else, and I hate that it's that way.
Obviously, I don't know if y'all saw the meme when it said, how much is popcorn? That'd be $15 million.
Sir. Yeah, we did see that. Yeah, yeah, I mean – I'm pretty sure he was able to afford that bucket of popcorn.
Well, what I was transitioning into was, you know, you were in 4 days into it, and you've already heard the stories about, a lot of the transfers, especially the wide receivers, staying put. A lot of people have retracted from the transfer portal. You've already heard stories about this guy already calling recruits, already talking to people. I heard a story last night that he went to Baumhauer's and was part of a private party that had 100, you know, high school coaches.
Yep.
And he went around and shook hands and kissed babies and stuff like that. You know, and my point is, all Harsin had to do was really try.
Right.
And the guy, it seemed like he didn't even try. Like, I didn't know it was as bad as you know, you never hear the horror stories until the breakup happens, right?
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, I just didn't understand it was that bad.
Yeah, and here's the thing with Harsin. We got to give him the benefit of the doubt when he came in because I believe he truly didn't know what he was getting into. But then you're right. No. It just never seemed like he actually tried to make it better or tried to learn or be a good recruiter at Auburn because obviously the results were not there.
Right, and I mean, again, I don't have a problem with Brian Harsin as a person. I think he's a good guy. I think he got ran through the mud, and that was not the Auburn way. And a lot of Auburn people are still sour about that from our leaders, and I hope they know that because that's not who we are. We're not a bunch of updikes. That's not how we act. That's not how we roll. You know, and that's my word, by the way, for Bama fans.
Yes.
Dyke, so
I've heard plenty of people use it.
So, but anyway, so I just wanted to say, I mean, it looks like not only is it, and you know, I told you guys from the jump, I didn't think it was going to be Lane. I wanted Lane, but I told y'all, they started building that lake house long time ago, brother, long time ago. So I figured it was going to be Hugh, but here's the good thing. We've got him. Let's roll on. Hugh wants it. Hugh wants to go recruit. Hugh wants this. Hugh wants to prove himself, man. There ain't nothing more dangerous than a man on a mission that's got something to prove, guys.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, personally, I think Hugh wants this to be his legacy. He wants to retire at Auburn if he can.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Ty. We appreciate you calling in. That's Ty the Tiger. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. And something to kind of go with that, something we've talked about, is if Hugh Freeze were to get the job, and now obviously he has gotten the job, he's going to be probably the hardest worker who could have gotten this job because of the second chance factor, of the possibly last chance factor, and the, just to be blank with it, the borderline hell that he's been through to get back to this situation and get back into this big of a job. And so credit to him for going through the post of all of the stuff that happened, right? And to go through the whatever it was that he was able to go through with his wife, his family, his friends, his other family members to be where they are now and seem to be happy and get this opportunity to take an Auburn job. But I guarantee he will work harder than 99.5% of anybody else they could have hired for this job. I truly am convinced of that.
Oh, he's in Montgomery today. I mean, he's out on the trail. He's simultaneously hiring coaches and recruiting at the same time. Props to him.
Props to him.
He's winning over a lot of people, I think, in this first week.
Yeah, I think so. And again, are the results going to be there on the field? We don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. And you know what? It may take a couple of years to do that. But just looking at what he's done in the last 4 days since he's been introduced as Auburn's coach, you got to be impressed. Now, here's the thing, though. This should not be something where we're like, wow, this is great. I can't believe he's out recruiting. He's obviously supposed to be doing that. I get that. But from what we saw with Brian Harsin versus what we're seeing in just 4 days with Hugh Freeze, you are impressed. And it's good to see that somebody is back in the driver's seat doing the things that it takes to be successful at Auburn. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday, guys. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
Been a beautiful month.
Beautiful week, right?
No Brian Harsin and Hugh Freeze.
Yeah,
there you
absolutely
go.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, Jacob, you say not even that. I'm not sure he's even in the car. Brian Harsin went in the driver's seat? I'm not sure he's in the car.
Oh, no. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have somebody that is in the car, is driving the car, and knows where the heck they're going.
Yeah, the passion and the work ethic that Hugh Freeze is going to have is going to blow people's minds because I agree with what Carter just said. He's thankful. He's grateful. He wants to be there, and he's going to work his honey off trying to do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback thing next year is going to be awesome. Now, Robbie Ashford, definitely athletically. Now, Carter, you and I have discussed that. But is that Calzada going to be back?
I believe so, yes.
Well, he's definitely the better passer. Then you get, you know, possibly bring in somebody. Hey, it could be pretty interesting next year. Let's be honest.
It may be interesting.
Intriguing names. Yeah. You've got Brennan Armstrong at Virginia, who's, I think, the best quarterback statistically they've ever had at that program.
I'm glad Terry brought up Zach Calzada because I think people have written him off since he didn't get the job this past year. But we've obviously seen that this past coaching staff wasn't the absolute best at putting the best talent on the field. So
I'm not sure Zach Calzada is going to be the starting quarterback based on what I feel right now. I think it's going to be Robbie Ashford or a transfer is what I would say.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think Ashford's athleticism can win Auburn a game they're not supposed to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he's coached up the right way, his passing can improve. He completed 11 passes against Alabama. Okay, let's say next year he completes 15.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have the phantom muffed punt, yeah, Auburn's in that game to the bitter end.
Yeah. He couldn't have played any harder, any better.
Oh,
let's
be honest. That was his best game by far.
The reason Auburn lost that game was not Robbie Ashford.
100%. Not 100%.
Zach Calzada is definitely a passer, but can he move around? Who freaks last quarterback who can move around a little bit? Is Zach Calzada a statue back there?
I think he's got a little bit of mobility. We saw it against Auburn because he was trying to, I guess, pick up some extra yardage
when he got hurt
in the ball when Zion Puckett and he went shoulder to shoulder and I think pretty much ruined both of their shoulders.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. And it's going to be fun to watch if they can. And I have all the confidence in the world in Coach Freeze and the staff there as possible. And by the way, is any word on the staff today?
There's some word out there. I'm not sure it's been 100% confirmed, but I have seen an article or two about Wesley McGriff joining the staff potentially, which he's been at Auburn before. Has he been at Auburn twice, or has he only been at Auburn once? I can't recall. He may have been at Auburn twice.
I'm trying to think. Sure, but I don't think there's any concrete noise about coordinators yet, I would assume within the next week that would be pretty set in stone.
A lot of buzz about Charles Kelly. There's a lot of buzz about Chris Kiffin. There's a lot of kind of buzz there on the offensive coordinator front. I mean, Phil Longo's been a name that's been mentioned. I know Kent Austin was Hugh Freeze's offensive coordinator at Liberty. I know he's on staff. I don't know if he's going to be on the field or not.
Now, wasn't he the one, Jacob and Carter, that was mentioned that Malik Willis mentioned in an interview or something about Hevery's calling the plays on first, second down, him calling the plays on third down or something like that?
Yes, I believe so. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, if McGriff is on this staff this next year, it'll be his third tenure at Auburn. He was here in 2016. He coached, what's his connection with Freeze? He coached with Freeze somewhere, I believe. Yes, he coached with Freeze briefly at Ole Miss in 16, the Freeze's last season, but he was at Auburn in 16 as well at some point, and then he was back at Auburn from 19 to 21, and then if he's on staff next year, he'll be back again.
So, guys, was he the coach that left under Malzahn and went to Ole Miss and he came back to Malzahn? Is that what you were talking about, Carter? I remember that happening. I don't remember the name.
Yes.
He
went to Ole Miss to be the defensive coordinator under Matt Luke. And then he came back to Auburn as DB's coach.
And speaking of Matt Luke, is there any word? Because I've heard his name mentioned for the offensive line coach. I don't think he's employed right now.
So he's semi-retired, I think is the word. And it would require a significant, I think, sales pitch from Hugh Freeze to get him, because I think he's living a pretty comfortable life watching his sons kind of go through high school and play high school ball.
Interesting. Well, we'll see, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it, Terry. Hope you have a good one as well. Yeah, I think next week we'll definitely start seeing the coordinator positions really start to heat up and ultimately probably get filled.
I think they might fill up this weekend.
They very might. Yeah, they might. Because, look, with the portal opening up and recruiting about to be just full on, you've got to have some coordinators because you know how many recruits commit to coordinators.
It would be such an advantage for Hugh Freeze to have his entire staff have his entire staff
by Monday
intact, ready to go the day that the portal opens.
Yep, we'll see. I think it's a good chance. I would like to see that happen. We'll see if it does.
I do wonder if Chris Kiffin is your defensive coordinator, could you be waiting around for the Browns game this week?
Possibly. Yeah,
because
possibly.
It's a middle of the week kind of thing, and it'd be a kind of bad move to say, "Hey guys, I know we got a game in 2 days, but peace out, I'm gone."
Could be. Yeah, it very well could be. We'll see how it goes. We got to get to a break, though. We'd love to hear from you. We've had great callers here in hour number two. 334-321-1390. The Friday edition of On the Line rolls on when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Continuing on, talking about the difference between the Brian Harsin era and the four-day era of Hugh Freeze with Auburn football here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, 334-321-1390, the number to put you through to us. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, we'd love to hear from you. Carter, you just got some information via friend of the program, Christian Clemente.
So apparently a lot of high school coaches are getting tours of the Waltos Center today, and his quote that he had with it, "Auburn is treating the high school coaches like royalty this week." You love to see it.
You love to see it. You really, really do. You love to see that, which goes right in line with what we've pretty much been talking about all day.
He also said that Freeze and Cadillac were at Montgomery Catholic today to see Jeremiah Cobb. Freeze is also going to see Braden Joyner and J.C. Hart today. And then Freeze, Zach Etheridge, Jeremy Grant, and Christian Robinson all went to Madhouse, the gym in Montgomery, today. And they're also going to see James Smith and Quay Rusaw.
Well, they're not wasting any time then. If you're an Auburn fan and you had any doubts about Hugh Freeze wanting to be here and putting in the work, there's a long way to go, but we're not even out of the week, and he's already going to see most of the recruits. He's talking to high school coaches. He's bringing high school coaches to Auburn. I mean, you can't be anything but impressed. I mean, I don't see how you could not be impressed with what he's done in 3 days.
They're doing work today right now.
They're putting in the work. I guarantee they will be out late tonight and this weekend.
Oh, I think they're going to see as many players as they can as often as possible right now.
And think about what they're doing, going and seeing recruits that they already have committed, talking to guys just to be like, hey, here's who we are. This is why we still want you to come here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I don't think we've talked about on this show enough, something that is worth talking about with a new staff in place, is everybody who has taken an official this year to Auburn when Brian Harsin was the head coach, they get to retake those officials. So you're going to see Hugh Freeze trying to get James Smith and Quay Rusaw back on campus for a second official visit. You're going to see all sorts of stuff like that taking place.
Who can now come back and see the new football facility.
Exactly. All of the commits are probably going to come back, I would imagine. All the ones that there won't be mutual partings of way. It'll be fantastic to watch this. This staff is doing work right now.
I mean, they're re-recruiting, basically, a lot of these guys.
They understand that this game is not one with scheme in the SEC. You're not going to out-coach another coach in this conference to wins. You've got to go get the dudes. You've got to go get the Jimmies and the Joes. You have to go have the talent and the athleticism, and you have to physically stand up against Georgia, against Alabama, against LSU, against Texas A&M, against Florida, all those teams. You have to go get the dudes.
And what's important is what you just said. They understand that. They know that.
The last coaching staff did not.
They had no idea. No idea.
Gus Malzahn understood it to an extent. He didn't understand it to the level it needed to be understood in the trenches.
He learned some.
He had guys on the perimeter.
He had
guys on the perimeter. He had guys on defense. He didn't have it at the trenches at a certain point. Especially when Rodney Garner he was the reason why Auburn had really good defensive lines, and I think that helped carry some of those Auburn defenses. I think you've, in the past few years, you've started to see that taper off some. Auburn still had some guys, and Nick Eason did a good job going and getting some guys. But you've had Derek Hall and Colby Wooden. Those two guys potentially could be on their way out. And so at that point, who's going to be that elite person on that D-line? Because right now, you would have to say there's nobody that jumps out.
Right. Yeah, you know, I agree. And you know, again, it's just, it's so nice to see. And it's really, it's affirming, I think is the word I'm looking for here, to see Hugh Freeze and the little bit of staff that he does have already doing what they should have been done weeks and months and a year ago with the former staff, is going and recruiting, talking to these guys, talking to their coaches, talking to the coaches in the state, bringing them to Auburn. And with the new football facility, it's a great point you brought up about anybody that had an official visit with the coaching change now is allowed to come back for another official visit. So Hugh Freeze and this staff, I hope they take advantage of it. I'm sure they will. And if they came for an official visit the first time, the football facility was not finished yet. It is now. And I think that just goes into those puzzle pieces of alignment with Auburn football right now. It is a good time for Auburn, and the coaching staff is putting in work already.
I'm wondering if you see some guys who might have moved on, either transfer or gone pro, come back as a result of all of the positivity around Auburn football.
I guarantee they at least reconsider a little bit. Absolutely. They ought to, no doubt about it. 30 minutes left here on the Friday edition of On the Line, talking the conference championship games coming up this weekend.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Well, he's not in the studio, but he still wanted to be a part of the fun. So Jack Hutton has called in to finish out what he has started on this season. He's been joining us every Friday to make picks around college football. It is conference championship weekend, so we'll talk about the games. We'll make our picks as well. Jack, how are you, buddy? Happy Friday.
Hey guys, sorry I couldn't get in there today. Duty calls at work, so had to remain here today. But looking forward to getting the picks in.
Yeah, well, we understand completely. You've had a busy week with Auburn High football on Friday, Auburn High basketball last night. So we completely understand. But glad you called in. We didn't know if you were going to be here or not, so this is a nice surprise that you are actually on the phone.
Well, I'm glad I could make it. Yeah, I got to see a state championship win yesterday. 2 days ago, that is, by the Auburn High Flags football team. Unfortunately, the Auburn High School regular football team just ran into a buzzsaw with an eighth grade quarterback. But then Auburn turns around and wins a couple basketball games. So
did you not know that eighth grade quarterback is the second coming of Tom Brady?
Yeah, I think they came into that game not expecting that, and I don't think the rest of the country did either. I mean, like Sports Illustrated wrote an article about it. I mean, he's
been everywhere now.
Yeah, that kid absolutely really balled out for sure. Well, let's start looking at the conference championship games coming up this weekend. Lots of playoff implications. We know what's at stake. Conference championships are ultimately on the line. So starting tonight in the Pac-12, this one probably has the most playoff implications. Number 11, Utah. Number 4, USC. 7 o'clock on Fox. Jack, who wins and why?
So Carter's been dogging me for a little bit, but I have not believed in Utah for about, I probably didn't believe in them for about half the year. I've started to believe more. I think they're much better than has been led on by me of recently. The matchup predictor on ESPN though has this at like a Utah like 60% chance to win. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Caleb Williams and the Trojans get this done and find their way to get into the college football playoff. I don't see Alabama backdooring this year.
Well, Jack, I think something that probably the ESPN matchup predictor is taking into account. Have you seen the turnover luck that USC has this year?
I have not specifically, no.
They are They have, I believe, 27 turnovers gained. How many do you think that they have lost this year?
Oh, man. I got no idea. I mean, is it good luck or bad luck?
It's bad luck. It's phenomenal luck. Like, the best luck I've ever seen luck.
Got no idea.
They have 4 turnovers all year long.
Golly.
And so they are plus 23 in turnover margin. What do you think the turnover margin is for the second best team in the country is?
Plus 2? I don't know.
plus 14. But so that's the gap from 1 to 2 is 9 turnovers. The gap from the, if you go 9 down from number 2, that gets you all the way down to 38th.
Good gosh.
Yes. Yeah. So they have forced turnovers at an unprecedented level. At some point, that's got to dry up. But I just have a weird feeling that Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman, like cement it this weekend. And so I got USC winning this one. I don't like it because I really like Utah. I like Kyle Whittingham and what he's built there. But I've got USC revenge on the mind. I think they get it done.
I like USC.
I got to watch Caleb Williams against Notre Dame this past week. And
right.
Something about it just looked. It was for the first time all season to me, and he just looked like the guy that's going to win.
It's also worth mentioning that a lot of this USC team is transfers. And they played, USC at the halfway point of the year? These transfers have had more time to come together, to gel, and I think that they're probably they've probably improved more from the first matchup than Utah has.
Yeah, definitely so.
Jack, to kind of give mine, I like USC tonight. They play, again, Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. The stakes are this. If USC wins, they're in. If USC loses, they're out of the college football playoff. USC favored by 3. I like them to win tonight. I think it'll be a fun game. I think it'll be exciting. The total is 67.5, so they're expecting some points tonight and some fireworks out in Las Vegas. But ultimately, I think USC wins. I think they stay in the college football playoff, and I think Caleb Williams has himself a really, really good game tonight in Las Vegas. Looking at tomorrow, you've got the Big 12 championship game. You're looking at the Power 5 games, right? You've got the Big 12 championship game, the SEC championship game. We'll look at the AAC. That's a big one as well. You've got the Big Ten and the ACC. So starting tomorrow at 11 a.m. on ABC, number 10 Kansas State, the team that you and Carter have gone back and forth on all year. You support them, then you don't, then you support them, then you don't. A top 10 Kansas State team playing number 3 TCU in the Big 12 championship game.
This is blasphemous right now.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
We have been K-State guys through and through.
I don't know about that.
We had one week where we got a little shaky because we didn't know that Tulane was nasty this year when Tulane pulled that upset. But K-State is awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you, Carter. And look, Kansas State, I think that having Adrian Martinez is going to really help in this game. Carter,
I don't think he's playing. Is he?
Adrian Martinez. Well, I thought he was. I thought that was why. I thought that was why you were picking them, though.
I thought he would be healthy, but I think it's Walker Howard in this game. Actually, hang on. Both quarterbacks are going to play in this game.
Oh gosh,
Martinez and Walker Howard are both going to play in this game.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Will Howard, sorry.
In this one for that. Look, I think Kansas State is a really talented team. I have supported the idea of them winning the Big 12 championship for most of the year. I just think TCU's got some destiny, man. I got to go with TCU in this. I think Kansas State just falls short of what we thought they were going to do. But let it be known, they are in the Big 12 championship like yours truly and Mr. Bird predicted.
That's fair. I'm going to say they get it done. I think they get it done in a dominant fashion. TCU's been playing with fire all year long. K-State should have beaten them the first game. Well, now they're healthy. They've got both of the quarterbacks that either could not play in the game because they were hurt or got hurt in the game when they were kind of dominating early. They have a awesome running back in Deuce Vaughn. Deuce Vaughn, he's tiny. He is so short, but he's so good. And K-State, I think, is a really difficult one-off, like single standalone matchup. I think K-State dominates this game.
Wow, dominates. Okay, well, here's the thing. So on that, if TCU loses, Carter, are they still in the college football playoff in your eyes?
Say that again.
If TCU loses, are they still in?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, I don't think that's an option. I think TCU wins. I just think they've got more talent. They've got more offensive firepower. And I just think they win. Now, I don't think they're going to win a playoff, but I do think they win the Big 12 championship game tomorrow. Looking forward to that one. I think it could be really, really exciting. They're only 1.5-point favorites, so they're expecting a close game, but I like the Horned Frogs in this matchup. Looking at some of the other conference championship games coming up this weekend, LSU and Georgia, the big one in the SEC, number 14 LSU, the top team in the land, the Georgia Bulldogs. This game has lost a little bit of its oomph, if you will, because of LSU losing the way that they did to Texas A&M. But Georgia favored by 17.5 points. Jack, who gets it done? Does Georgia cover?
Yes, Georgia will cover in this one. I don't see LSU competing really at all in this one. I mean, Jaden Daniels has been good at times, but LSU's coming off a loss to a Texas A&M team who, yeah, sure, they may have gotten up for it, but, I mean, my gosh, they looked really bad in that one. They looked like they couldn't move the ball, and it looked like Texas A&M, a team that struggled all year on offense, did not struggle at all against LSU. I know that they're full of five stars, but I think Georgia rolls in this one.
I think that last week was just a lack of focus. I think that was a look-ahead spot as much as it should not have been because their playoff hopes were on the line for LSU. 17.5 points, y'all, is the biggest line that we're going to talk about in any of these games. Michigan-Purdue is not as big of a line as this is. I think LSU absolutely covers 17.5, but Georgia's absolutely going to win this game.
I'm right there with you. I think LSU covers. I think Jaden Daniels has a really good day. I think this is a game that's played into the fourth quarter, fellas. I like Georgia to win. I don't know what my score prediction is quite yet, but I do like LSU to cover 17.5. And again, I think this is a fourth quarter game where you see Georgia have to score maybe early to the mid part in the fourth quarter and the defense come up and have to stop LSU for a win. How about this one? UCF and Tulane. Number 22, UCF. Number 18, Tulane in the AAC championship game. Tulane favored by 4. Jack, who do you got?
Look, Gus Malzahn and the Knights, every year I swear they lose a game they're not supposed to. This year, I think they lost 2 games they weren't supposed to. I know they got beat by a Navy team that is just not very good. They almost got beat by South Florida last week, who was not very good again. And then they got beat by East Carolina earlier this year. I do think Gus Malzahn has a tendency to save it for big games, but I think Tulane gets it done in this. Tulane, of course, the big win over the best team in the land, Kansas State, earlier this year. So give me Tulane in this one.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of waffling on this one. I don't really know exactly what I want to do with it. So I may play it safe and go with the green wave because anything to prop up our Kansas State Wildcats.
whatever y'all got to do to make yourselves feel better about Kansas State. Tulane wins, UCF covers. It's a 4-point spread. I think this comes down to the wire. Should be an exciting game tomorrow, same time as the SEC championship game.
I don't
game.
Know if y'all saw this, but the I think it would help if Tulane won. But if TCU and USC lose, then the ESPN playoff predictor actually gives a 58% chance of Kansas State making the playoff.
Please stop. It's not happening.
It's so great.
Not happening.
If the first multi-loss team to get in the playoff is a 3-loss Kansas State, the world would burn.
The world would riot.
They're going to the ship, boys.
Stop, please. Looking at a couple of more, we got 2 more Power 5 conference championship games tomorrow. We'll start with the ACC, 7 o'clock on ABC. Number 9, Clemson, eliminated more than likely from the college football playoff, taking on number 23, North Carolina. We know that May for North Carolina is a fantastic quarterback. He should be a Heisman candidate. I don't know if he'll get the invite or not, but he's playing outstanding. Clemson favored by 7.5. I think that's an interesting line against North Carolina. Jack, who wins?
Look, North Carolina, for a long time, they looked like a team that could compete. They went it, and I feel like in that competition, they played down to the helmet logo a lot of times this year. I mean, they almost get beat by Appalachian State. They barely hold on against Georgia State. I mean, they barely hold on against Miami, Duke, Virginia, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, and then they lose to that one. And then they finally get beat last week by NC State. They've lost two straight. I like Clemson's momentum in this one. North Carolina has kept it close all year and just kind of run out of steam.
So when I look at this game, I don't know what's been up with UNC the last couple weeks, but Drake May is awesome. Whether he's at UNC next year, who knows?
You talking about future Auburn quarterback Drake May?
No. I don't think Drake May is.
Don't get anybody too hyped up and excited on this show, Jack.
I do wonder if he, because I wonder if this season, with how awesome he's been and the fact he's got no recognition really, if that makes him want to move to the SEC or the Big Ten or somewhere else. I think they have the huge, overwhelming advantage at quarterback. The UNC defense is awful. I think Clemson turns the ball over enough and keeps UNC in it. I think UNC wins the game.
Wow. Okay. Clemson. Yeah, that is a big one. That's the upset that Carter's got to go with. Clemson favored by 7.5. I think they win. Cover, that's a weird line, so I'm not going to touch it, but I think Clemson wins. Obviously, I'm with you, Carter, that North Carolina has the overwhelming advantage at quarterback, but Clemson has the overwhelming advantage in talent and coaching, and I think that helps them in this game. I think it'll be exciting, but ultimately, I think it's May that has a couple of turnovers for North Carolina, and Clemson will win this game. I think they'll be able to take care of business. Last one, Big Ten, Purdue, 8-4, sneaky decent.
Why heck did we save this one for last?
Just give me a second. Purdue, 8-4, won their last three games in a row. They're taking on the number two team in the country, Michigan, undefeated, 12-0. They're coming off the win of a massive win against Ohio State in the Shoe. Jack, Michigan favored by 16.5. Who wins?
Look, I actually like Purdue. I think they're a good. I think they're pretty good for the most part. I mean, they got some good wins this year. I mean, they went on the road to Minnesota at the time. They kept it close against Penn State, who we found out was we thought they were good, and we didn't think they were that good, and now we think they're okay again. So they've had some funky games like that. They did get a big win over Illinois a couple of weeks ago, but they're not touching this Michigan team. I mean, Michigan is on a different level in the Big Ten right now. Of course, we saw that last week against Ohio State. So Wolverines by a million in this one, and they're in the college football playoff.
Look, I mean, I really don't even think that they've beaten that many good teams when you look at it. I think that they blew that Penn State game. They blew that Syracuse game when Syracuse was up and running. They beat Minnesota, who finished 8-4. They beat Illinois, who finished 8-4. And that's about it. It really is about it right there. And, I mean, they got smashed by a bad Iowa team. Purdue has not done well against good defenses all year long. And Michigan's got a good defense, and they've got better athletes, and they're more physical, and they can run the football even without Blake Corum. And they showed last week that they can throw the ball. Michigan's going to kill this team.
Purdue has also beaten Maryland, who ran with Ohio State and almost upset Ohio State. Purdue has three straight wins over Illinois,
that's
Northwestern,
and
Indiana.
Maryland,
it is.
If you want to toot that horn a little
bit. If there's a team in the Big Ten that wins games they're not supposed to and they beat big teams that are better than them in big moments, it's the Purdue Boilermakers. They should have two more wins than they do. Blake Corum is out, the star running back for Michigan. I don't believe in the Wolverine offense. I think their defense is good. My upset pick is Purdue over Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. I like Purdue. Boiler up.
All right, so Jack, we can mark this one down. The last time he did something like this, his team lost by like 50 with Oklahoma State.
Always a chance to be right.
That's because you wasn't picking Kansas State.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I do. I have Purdue to win the Big Ten championship. Michigan will still make it to the college football playoff. Jack, we got to get to our final break, man.
Hey, I also want to mention really quickly before you go, Troy playing in the Sun Belt Championship.
And they're going to win.
Down the road, taking the Trojans this week, man.
Yeah, I like them too.
Because Coastal doesn't have Grayson McCall in that game, and their coach is taking the Liberty job, I believe.
Liberty job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Even if those things weren't happening, I think Troy would still win. I think Troy's a really good team. They're a really good program.
Grayson McCall changes that entire
thing. Oh, no doubt.
Grayson McCall is the best G5 quarterback in the country.
Yeah, definitely agree with you.
Well, Jack, we got to get to it, man. Hey, we appreciate you calling in. Have a great weekend, brother. We appreciate you coming on.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
That is old Jack Hutner, buddy. He normally joins us in studio. He was nice enough to call in making picks for the conference championship games. We got to get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you here on ESPN 106.7. Thank you to Jack Cutton, our good buddy, who was able to call in and give us our picks and join us in picking the conference championship games coming up this weekend. So we were able to finalize the season before, of course, the playoffs. I'm sure he'll join us around that time as well. But big thank you to him. It's been a great show today. We've got about a minute.
Jack keep coming back every week.
Yeah. Well, now we got basketball to talk about. Yeah. We'll start picking basketball games too, which you know I get excited about that. So again, if you missed any of today's show, be sure to go and find the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com under the podcast center. You can find it commercial free right after the show today. So be sure you go and do that if you missed any of it. We've talked a lot of Hugh Freeze and what he's already doing on the recruiting trail. We made picks for conference championship games and all of that good stuff. So it's been a great show. And again, if you missed any of it, be sure to go and find the podcast. You're going to the game tonight, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, it'll be good.
I'm actually looking at the matchup right now. I didn't realize Colgate beat Syracuse this year.
Yes, they did.
Hello.
Yes, they did.
Good for them.
They have a few bad losses.
Weird losses too.
Yeah, yeah. They have a nice win.
They lost to the Blue Hens of Delaware.
Hey, Delaware. I like it. They're, what? Auburn's still favorite, what, 13, right?
13 and a half?
Yeah, I'm seeing 13,
over
13 and a half.
Of 145 and a half. I think Auburn covers. I think Auburn covers and the over hits.
Man, you must have a lot more confidence than me. There ain't no way I touch an Auburn total right now because you just don't know what they're going to do offensively.
I think the over hits, and I think Auburn wins this game by 21.
I think Auburn will cover. I'll give you Auburn to cover by 13 or 13 and a half, whichever one, same thing. So I think Auburn covers. Total-wise, I don't know. I would love for Auburn to go out and score 80 tonight. I don't think it happens, but I would love for them to do that.
All right, I'm going to go 85-64. Final score.
I'm going to go 76-54. They'll win by 22. Wow, that's kind of a lot. Well, Auburn wins. They cover. I don't think they score any points, though. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.